16th, 2006, at her home in Royal Oak. So, Ms. Wilkes, can you tell me where you lived in England?
I lived in Arlington, Sussex. It's just out of Eastport, on the south coast, south east coast.
And you were born there?
No, yes, I was born there, but not there. I was born in Brighton.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. And what did your father do?
He was a butcher.
And your mother?
She was housekeeper for people.
Okay. So was she home very much with you?
No, because my mum and dad were divorced when I was three.
Okay. So you had two separate homes, or did you live with
them? No, I lived with my mother.
And do you have any brothers or sisters?
No.
You're an only child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what kind of education did you get?
I imagine equal to here, about the grade 10 or 11, because I left school when I was 14 and a half.
And what year was that when you left school? Do you remember?
What year? Mm-hmm. 1939, when the war broke out.
So how did you hear about the war?
No, 1940, because I was 13 when the war broke out.
And so when you were 14, did you get a job at all?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
did you do?
All different jobs. And one was a nanny, and one was a cook's aide. I had several jobs until I was 17, and then we had to join one of the services, mm-hmm. and I joined the Land Army.
Interesting. Oh, you have a story in the Blackout Spotlights book?
Yes.
Oh, I might have read it already. That's interesting. So can you tell me, do you remember the moment you heard that war was declared?
Yes, I think I do. I was living with my gran at the time because of the divorce. I lived with several of my relations, aunts and uncles. And at the time I was living with my gran, and it came over the radio that, because we didn't have a television rooster, and so it came over the, as wireless as they called it over there.
And do you remember your reaction or how you felt?
Not really, because at 13 you kind of, there was so much talk about it beforehand, whether it was going to be or not going to be. And
so it wasn't a surprise at all, obviously.
No.
And so when you were 17 and you went to the Land Army,
mm-hmm.
was that a decision you wanted to do?
I wanted to join the Navy.
Why didn't you join the Navy?
I met my husband at the time, and I met my husband when I was 16, and between him and my mother, they figured I'd be better to stay at home. Not in the service, per se.
So in the Land Army, did you get much education and training there?
You mean, because it was just farm work.
It was farm work. Okay, can you describe to me what you did?
Everything.
Everything.
Milking cows. And,
what city were you in? Were you still?
Pardon?
What city were you in when you did this?
What was what?
What city were you in?
Oh, city, right there at home. I was lucky. There was a farmer who needed help, and it was 10 minutes on the bicycle.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm.
I think this is what the idea of my future husband was.
So you met when you were 16, that's pretty young. And how did you meet your husband?
At a railway station. I was with my aunt, who's only a year older than I am, and she's also a war fighter, so manager. We were kind of arguing on the station platform whether we go into this cafe for tea or not. I was shy and I didn't want to go in, but she wanted to go in because there's troops everywhere on the Santa Claus. And so anyway, this soldier came up to me and said, "You don't have to go in if you don't want to." That was it.
He was just so nice, and it just immediately struck you that...
Well, yes, he asked me, to come. He was waiting for his train to go on a different track, and he said, "Come back tomorrow night, we'll go to a show, some pictures."
And so you went and saw him that next night,
mm-hmm.
the show?
Didn't tell my mum. Well, went with my aunt, so...
Oh, so she is on
and he was with... a sergeant, I think, at the time, and so the two of them were going to come back, like, by a night, and the sergeant had a girlfriend, so he wouldn't come. My husband, to-be Jack, he brought somebody else. So, anyway, when we got to the railway station to to meet them here. Well, we got off the train and they're supposed to be there to meet us. There was nobody there, so I've been waiting. And there was a bridge. We had to go up a hill to get to the show. And we said, oh, they didn't mean it. They stood us up, so we were just going to the show. And we crossed this bridge, and as we crossed, because just one meeting that we had on the station the day before, didn't really realise what they really looked like. And so I said to five, because five was shorter than I said, I like the tall one. She said, I like the short one. And then after we passed, Jack turned around and he said, Sylvia.
So he was a little bit late to meet you? And
yeah, he was late. Yeah.
Oh.
He was doing, I think, kitchen duty or something, and he couldn't get away or something.
And how old was Jack when you met him?
He was 26 when we met him.
And so when did you bring him home to meet your mom?
Oh, it was quite a while afterwards. He met Gran first. Gran was more lenient. So then I took him up to meet Mum. And when he saw Mum, because Mum was young when she had me, and so anyway, he thought she was like my sister.
Softens the first blow, meeting. Mm-hmm. Not as hard to meet your sister as it is to meet your mom. And did you notice any age difference? Did you notice any differences because of your age difference?
No, I don't think so. I think you grow up faster because of the war, I think. You know, I think so.
And how long did you date before?
Over 2 years. Mm-hmm. We didn't get married until after the war.
Okay. And how, was he in town much?
He used to come on leave until he went to the real war started in Europe, he was in training in England, and then of course they were had to go overseas to Europe, and so we used to come back from there a couple of times on leave, and that's when we got engaged. The first time we came back in April in 45, and that's when we got the brought the ring and we got engaged, and September 45 we were married after.
And did you keep communication when he was away?
Oh yeah, I got all his letters. Not all of his letters, but quite a few of his letters.
Well, that'd be interesting to see if you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back to get married, you got married in England?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you had, what kind of dress did you
have? I had a white satin dress. My family rallied around and gave me coupons to get the material, and then I had a local girl make it. And then 3 months after I wore it, this aunt married a Canadian and she wore it. And then after that, I had a school friend that wanted a wedding dress, so I gave it to her. And I regret them not bringing it because I had a daughter and she couldn't wear it.
Would have been a generation. Where did you get married?
In Arlington.
In a church?
Mm-hmm.
And when did your husband leave to get back to Canada?
He stayed in England another year because we had a baby. And, the next June we had the baby, and he was able to stay at what they call repat camps. And they closed down as the troops kind of organized to go back to Canada, and so he kept going from one to the other until he had to go back, and he came back in August. That's 46.
And how long did you stay in England before you followed him to Canada?
I came back in December 46.
That's not
right. No. And it just happened, because you weren't allowed to travel with your husband, and it just happened that after, when he came back in August, my aunt was on the same ship.
Oh, as your husband.
Just a coincidence, but they weren't allowed to associate. Really separate.
Okay.
Thank you, Peggy, I guess.
So when you left to come to Canada, were you allowed to bring many of your things?
I had not a lot, but quite a few, yeah.
And what do you remember, what ship you took over?
Yeah, the Empire Brent. It was actually a T-shirt, and it was going out of hospital, because it was a hospital ship, the troops and for bringing war brides back. And it was going out of commission and being changed its name to Empire Bread. So we came over on it as the Empire Bread, but it was before it was used.
And how did you pay for your voyage?
The government.
And were there any organizations that helped you along the way when you were there?
I don't remember, but some of the girls, there must have been, but a lot of it is a blur.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the girls mentioned who the Red Cross and stuff were really good to them. And because my baby, Keith, he was quite sick, and I was sick. I said, when I got off at Pier 21, I said, that's it, I'll never go back on a ship again.
Your first and last experience.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything else memorable about the ship except for the fact
that it hit a cattle ship just as we were leaving Liverpool.
Oh.
And we had it sunk the ship. I've got pictures in the book. And it sunk the this cattle ship and the cattle all in the water. And the rain and the whole which is part of the ship's front. But anyway, we had to go back to port naturally, and so it was touch and go if they could get another ship, and they couldn't at the time, and so we were sent back home for just over a week while it was repaired, and then we came back again.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, I having a baby, all these nappies, we called them, for the diapers, and here they had to wash them, because they were like terry toweling,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so Mum and I got gauze and cotton batten and made some.
Oh.
So I said I should have patented that because I've been before Pampers.
It was your idea. And how long did your voyage take before you got to Pier 21?
I think it was 12 or 13 days.
Wow, that's quite a long time. Especially for the baby who's
mm-hmm.
not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
When did you arrive at... What month did you arrive in Canada? Was it
December.
December?
Yeah.
So it was
yeah.
winter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the weather like?
It was overcast. I was disappointed there wasn't any snow. And I was like, you thought of Canada and white in December. And that's the picture you had in your mind. And it was quite a bit inland before I saw any snow.
Okay. So you were looking forward to the cold?
Well, different, you know. You didn't feel the cold. Whether it's because your blood is thick or what, I don't know. But I just didn't have a proper winter coat for the first winter.
Adaptive.
Yeah. And it's 40 below when we got to the prairies.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of snow. I didn't have to worry about snow. I got that far.
So when you disembarked, you went on the train?
Mm-hmm.
And then you went over to the prairies. Where did you go?
To Regina. That's where my husband met me.
So you got off and
mm-hmm.
your husband went there?
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice reunion.
It was, yeah. But he looked different because he's in civvies.
Yeah.
No uniform. I'd never seen him in anything else but uniforms. So.
Yeah.
Well,
that's just looks like a different person.
Mm-hmm. First thing we bought was winter boots.
Yeah.
For me.
Mm-hmm. Where did he take you? Did you have
to a little place called Abernethy. South of Regina, and 7 miles from anything.
And you had your home house there?
Well, with his family.
His family.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you met his family the first night you got there?
Yeah, but she was a war bride from the first one.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so that's nice. She would have known what you were going through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you find them accepting them?
Yes, pretty well. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my baby was sick, and so a month after I arrived, he went into the sanatorium, he had TB, and less than a month of this after that, but Jack went into Regina Hospital to have an operation, and so I left. Then Easter came up, and so I left to go and see them, and I saw Keith first, and they were short of help, so I got a job there, and then I went on. I said, I can't work there, but I'm going to see Jack, and I come back. And so then I went and saw Jack in Regina, and then when he got well enough to come into hospital, we got a little house near the sanatorium, so I could work and keep combat. CT.
And where did you work?
In the sanatorium.
Oh, you worked in the sanatorium, sorry. Mm-hmm. And where did you, and you bought the house right by the sanatorium?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. How large was the house?
Just a little house, and it was on a lake, Echo Lake. And it was quite a bridge in the summertime. It was just a few minutes from the sanatorium.
And did you have any more children?
Yes. I had two pregnancy after Keith, when I was still down in Fort Capel, and then 5 years after Keith, I had Robert. 3 years after that, I had Colin, and 3 years after that, I had Peter, and 9 years after that, I had my daughter.
Wow. So that makes a total of five?
Yeah. Okay. I got you. One that was here called
What year was it when you moved to your house in the sanatorium?
What year?
Yeah.
That would be come over in 47.
So that was about a year after.
Mm-hmm.
And by this point, were you missing anyone at all?
I was too busy looking after my husband and sick baby and stuff. And being young, you kind of take everything in.
A new adventure.
Yes, yes.
And so what did you, after Keith came back from the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and your husband was well again, what did you do?
We stayed around Fort Capel for a while, and my husband did odd jobs around there, but he really wanted to go farming, and here the VLA, that's Veterans Land Act, would help them if they could find something. But it was so hard to find farms, but we eventually did. We rented a farm, and but we were held out, and then we were froze out. And so after 3 years, we had to give it up because we couldn't make it forward.
Mm-hmm. And it was a hard 3 years?
Mm-hmm. And so then we worked for farmers for a while.
Where did you do that?
Well, different places. Like, you know, one just not too far from his home in Abernethy. Then we moved into the town of Abernethy, and he worked for another farmer there. And then after that, we went to Newlock to another farmer, and that's where my Peter was born, my youngest boy. And then, where did we go from there? Oh, while he was there, he had a chance of going on a reservation as an Indian agent. And so we did that, but his nerves went, and so he had 6 months nervous breakdown. That was bad. And then after that, he did odd jobs when he got well enough to do things. And then he got a chance of meat inspection in the abattoir. And so that's what he did.
Interesting how your husband ended up being in the same sort of business as your father.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I never thought of that.
I don't think I put together. So that was over the span. When did he begin the meat inspection?
I can't remember the year. I'd have to look it up.
Do you remember the around when? I mean, the decade?
Let's see. It was before Joanne was born. Being 60s.
Oh. And what did you do after you did the meat inspection? Did you get a job at all?
No.
You lived at home? Did you enjoy that?
Mm-hmm.
And you went to school?
At Humboldt, yeah. We lived at Humboldt when he was doing his meat inspection. We lived in Saskatoon when he took his training,
mm-hmm.
and that's where Joanne was born. Okay. And then we moved out to Humboldt.
When did you move out to Victoria?
In 80.
Oh, 80.
Mm-hmm. After he died.
Mm-hmm. And do you mind if I ask how he died?
He'd retired, took sick early retirement because of illness, because of his nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, we had an old English sheepdog, actually it was Collins, and he just got up from laying down to go and take it for a walk. And it had a pony in the back door. There was a, like this. I mean, it would be there, stairs going down to the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And he just stepped back. When he lost his balance on that pony.
Oh.
And he hit a steel beam. We had to take him off life support 3 days. We've rushed to Saskatoon.
How did you come up with the decision to make? How did you, so you still had all five children living at home?
No, they were, the four boys were living out here
at
the time. And because of the age difference, you know. And Joanne was 14 and a half, and she was at home. And so the oldest boy was out here, said that you can't live there by yourself. Joanne will be going to university or something, and you'll be left by yourself in all that snow and apartment house. You better come out here. So he sold his house he had here and built one with an in-law suite for Joanne and I.
That's a nice
family. It was just over the bridge from here.
Oh, so just from Quadra?
Yeah.
And
on Con, where the veteran settlement is. Was then, but I think it's changed now.
Oh, okay. And was this your first time out to the West Coast?
My first time, no, we used to come for holidays.
Oh, okay. So you knew what Victoria was like.
Yeah.
So you decided to forego all the snow in winter and come for more mild fire?
And when we got out here, of course, Joanne was 14 and a half, and she went to Reynolds School, and middle of high school, and everybody had friends, and she was a workaholic, and so... She didn't like it. She cried and cried. She said, we're going back. So my friend said, if you don't like it, come back. We'll have to find a place for you. So at any rate, Keith, he said, you don't run away from problems.
So
she's married and two children, lives at home.
Oh, so she stuck it out and eventually...
Mm-hmm. She became a teacher.
Okay. And did you develop any hobbies while you were here?
I went bowling. My church and the Warbrights is most my interest.
Mm-hmm. And by the point you came here, you were done with working?
Mm-hmm. And then my mother came out from England and lived with us.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She lived with me for 9 years.
Wow, that was a long life for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go back and visit England?
Oh, yeah. Not till 18, when Joanne graduated, we went back.
How did you find going back?
Oh, it's changed. And even now, further as different years go on, this is well. Let's face it: how many years I've lived here?
Yeah.
80 of them.
Yeah. Wow. And so now you're active in the Warbride Association.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what kind of activities do you do?
Not too much now. We used to have reunions and things, but now we just have monthly luncheons, which is good. We have a small one. J. Morgan's, and used to be 17, but we got there one day, there was only four of us at the small one, but the big one, that's gone down too. We used to have up to, I don't know, 50 or 60, but now we're lucky if we get 30 or 40. The ones that have lost some, and some are sick, can't make it.
And you've enjoyed your time in Canada then?
Oh, yes.
And now you recently did the Warbrides trip over...
To Halifax?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to go. And then Peg, the one you interviewed before, she was going to go. She wasn't going to go, and I talked her into going. And then I said, no, it's a lot of money. And it's, winter time, we didn't know what the weather would be like there. And so we said, no, we wouldn't go. And then different ones said, yes, you've got to go. And there was a couple got married. Their vows renewed out there. And she said, yes, you've got to come. So I went.
And so you flew out from here to Montreal, was it?
No, I flew to Ottawa because I've got a son living there.
Okay.
So I flew on the Saturday and had a day with him on the Sunday, and then he drove us down to Montreal. But one of the other girls went from here. She went all the way by train.
Wow.
She doesn't like flying, so she went all the way by train. She tried to talk me for a time, but I really didn't have the time. I'm looking after her. She looks after herself mostly, but my granddaughter lives with me, and she's taking nursing every year. And so here I thought, well, I goat. So she met me in Ottawa, in Beeler, where I was staying for.
And then you took the train?
Yeah. But I decided a lot of them come back on the train and flew back to their gene, but I didn't. I flew back to my house. So, well, I've done things.
How was the celebration there?
Oh, wonderful. It really was. And it was wonderful going out on the train. All the we stopped at different spots to pick up girls, like New Brunswick and stuff. And here, people were out there waving flags and, you know, cheering us on. And here, at one stop, well, we didn't stop, we were just going over this, bridge, you know, where the truck goes. And here, I thought, well, there was a house there and a lot of cars parked. And I thought, that's funny, it must be a sale or something. Like, you know, I was looking at the train window. And here, just a few seconds later, I see all these people. It was out of nowhere. And here they are waving flags.
Oh, that's so nice.
It was really something. And then we've got Halifax, red carpet.
Wow.
And the people, and the lights, and the press, and everything. On the train, it was all the press.
Makes you feel very valuable and accepted. And
different ones were interviewed on the train.
And it was just war brides on the train.
Well, I think there was a coach or two up at the front that had ordinary passengers. But most of it, there was over 200 on the train.
And was this your first time being back in Halifax?
No, I've been back to here 21 twice before when it reopened. And I'd seen it before when my son, Peter, who was in the Navy, he was stationed there, and I went there then, and he drove us around and said, you know where you are? I said, that looks like Pier 21. He said, it is, my, but it was a dilapidated shed then. It was awful.
Oh,
but,
no.
Of course, then somebody thought it should be historically revived. And thought, geez, it's beautiful now.
Yeah. And do you feel it should be historically revived as well?
Because not only us, but look, all the immigrants have come through there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's 46,000 of us, but there's a lot of immigrants.
Oh, that's very nice. It's nice to be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of anything else that you sticks out in your mind as being a war bride in Canada?
No, I don't think so. I've made lots of friends. I go to different reunions in different provinces. I still belong to the Saskatchewan War Bride Association, so I get their newsletters and things. And the girl that I came on the same ship as I am, she's running the Alberta War Bride reunion. You know, I do keep in touch with quite one in New Brunswick too. We went down to one of their reunions, and I think that was the first time in Halifax. And so you get correspondent with them all across the country.
And what do you like being having that correspondence? Is there, besides friendship?
It's just bond. I guess it's long kind of. You know, we've got a lot in common. What we've all differently been through. It's all interesting. Each story's different.
It is.
I guess you found that with interviews.
I have, yes, and it's interesting because I have read the Blackouts to Bright Lights.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of different experiences that people have had that are more the normal, should I say, normal experience, and some that are.
I didn't realize that some of the girls were resented when they come to Canada. I didn't realize that. I never was. I was made the real welcome right from the beginning. In fact, they gave me two showers.
And did you know what a shower was?
No, I didn't at the time. In fact, I had three. One in where we lived at the old schoolhouse opposite the farmhouse where I came to, and then two in there.
Oh, that's good. Oh, and have you ever considered getting remarried? Or?
No. I guess I don't go to different social things to meet anybody. And having Joanne still, you know, until she left, then my mother, you know, I was kind of, now I've got a granddaughter.
Always have company.
Yes, I do.
That's good. I think that's probably about all of that. No, you can't, that's...
Anything else you want to ask?
I think I've covered about everything. And what documents do you have right here? Do you have your own history? Is it an autobiography?
Joanne's history. Court.
Oh, your daughter.
It's your daughter. There's a, that's a story, and that's pictures, and there's pictures. Well, I can have a look. These got mixed up because of the Chatelaine magazine.
Yep.
Was interviewing me, and so they said, could they take the pictures? They just, she took them all out, so they're all mixed up.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's, this is fun. This is my son, Keith.
Yeah.
And that's the girl who came on the ship with me. There she is.
Oh, wow. You're
and
so young.
She used to hold him. And so when we went to the reunion in Alberta.
She held her.
There's Keith there. And there's me. And there I am there.
Is he a little
He doesn't look sick, does he?
No, he just looks very bundled up. That's great.
And I don't look sick either, so, but I
no,
was.
No, you look happy. I'm sure you were very excited to be coming over.
I'll sort them out some other time. But that's in the Land Army. That's my Land Army thing. That's a letter I got from the farmer I work for.
Thanking you for employment?
Mm-hmm. You'll read it.
Dear Miss Sylvia Keegan, was that your
maiden
name?
Yes.
Has been in my employ during the last 22 months as a hand. I'm so bad at reading script.
Where is it?
As a hand girl.
Land girl, is it?
As a land girl.
Land.
She has given me every satisfaction, and I am extremely sorry from my point of view. She will eventually be leaving. She is very clean, honest, trustworthy, and willing. I understand Canada is to have her. I can only say it seems to me that England will be a good but worse off over the bargain. It's a pity we haven't more girls like this. That's a very nice letter of reference.
I never needed it.
Something to keep.
And this is the cattle ship.
Oh, you kept the article?
I got it. I wrote all over. I wrote England, Liverpool, but I couldn't get anything, but we got that one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Land Army, because this is the picture that's on there. That's my thing. What else is in there? Oh, she's really mixed things up. And this is the one that this is passport,
more or less.
You know, more or less. That's what we have.
Very different from what we have now.
Yeah.
It's the paper.
She got them in there. She really took things. I've sorted it, but I wanted to show you where this is the house I came to. There's a ship.
Oh, big black hull. And looks like a typical 1950s ship.
And that's the house I came to.
Wow, looks like a one-room schoolhouse.
Yeah.
Two floors?
Yeah, two floors.
How much property did you have there?
It wasn't ours, it was my mother-in-law's.
Oh, okay.
Father-in-law's.
Oh, okay, the original house you came to. Was there a lot of room for you there?
Not very much.
No, especially with the baby?
And this is my 80th birthday this year.
And those are for your children?
Yes. Keith, Robert, Peter, and Joanne.
Very nice. And how many grandchildren do you have now?
11.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. This is more of your...
Yeah. Oh, and this is
the year of the war, brother.
Yeah. This is the best kept secret. Somebody found out that the government had obtained this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, why didn't they tell us? Why wasn't it in the paper or something? I mean, why do it and not let anybody know?
Yeah, I know. I didn't hear anything about
and
it. Actually,
then,
read
this is the MLA. They put on a real nice... lunch at McMorrin's for us.
Oh,
and invited us and gave us that. And this is another one of those. So, what else is in here?
It's nice that you've kept everything up so well.
Pioneer Brides.
Oh, it's a poem? It was published in a British newspaper in 1946.
Mm-hmm.
They've chosen their husbands, they're proud and glad of their Aussie, their Yank, or Canadian lad. From parents, friends, and this land will depart, and a very great step for a very young heart. Off to a country unknown and untried, to learn other methods and customs besides. Even their husbands are first at first must be shared with people and friends who have waited and cared. These brides must take courage and kindness along, for they can't rush back home when things go wrong. They speak for this land by behavior and deed to earn their acceptance and honor their breed. Good luck and God bless these pioneer brides and give them fine children and the best of both sides. Oh, that's very nice. It seems to describe your everything so well. It encompasses everything. Especially the part where they can't just go home and quickly get out of it.
Right. I think some of it, like at the Alberta reunion, they had little cards on the table and girls had said what the first thoughts of Canada. And one was, you can't just run around the corner and go shopping. Better you're in the country, 7 miles from anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you see it as an adventure? Excuse me, an adventure coming out
here? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had my ups and downs, and it's all been an experience that I wouldn't have missed for the world. It's all been wonderful. Mm-hmm. Even the downs, you know,
you learn to adapt, mm-hmm. and
it's been wonderful.
I find it very interesting, the mindset that your generation especially has, in terms of just, you know, trying things and just, you know, going to Canada and leaving your family and your friends and mm-hmm. your home mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. to follow your husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've been fortunate to have travelled quite a bit since I've been out here. I've been to Egypt and found a crocodile in Mississippi and, you know,
oh, things like fun this.
Oh, it's fun things. So. There's only one thing I haven't done yet, which I don't know if I'll ever do now. See the Great Wall of China. I like history things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to be there and touch them. When I touched the wall, the Wailing Wall in Egypt, it was just wonderful. You know, I was disappointed because it was so small. But here you imagine it to be.
Yeah.
It was so crowded, of course.
Oh,
and so anyway, the girl said, oh, we're not going to near that. And I said, I am, I'm coming this way and not even touch it.
Yeah. And so did you do most of your traveling once you were out here in Detroit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you receive a pension, may I ask,
mm-hmm.
from the government?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for your interview.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's great, and you seem to be quite experienced with doing interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice of you to show.
Getting more used to it. I'm still not a shy person, so...
Thank you very much, and it's great seeing all your memoirs. Perhaps I could see, but do you have the letters handy?
No, I don't. No. If I know you, if you wanted them, I would have, you know,
yes,
done them out. Yeah, in appropriate correct.
Maybe perhaps sometime I could get those if it's convenient for you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again.
Mm-hmm.